Today's episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app today and join myself and Doug Norrie next week as we talk all things Brooklyn Nets with you, the fans. It's the Spotify Green Room. Get in on the action. And of course, you can get on this action right here, right now. It is the team, the Brooklyn Nets. It is the sport, the NBA, that keeps giving you storylines to sink your teeth in on. Just when we thought we could start to turn our attention fully to the offseason, we have to revisit this past series and wonder what if, as it came out the news that Spencer Dinwiddie was cleared to resume basketball activity. Good Lord, would it have been nice to have had him there on the court with Kevin Durant as a hobbled James Harden tried to lift up over those Milwaukee Bucks. We think back to the injury at the start of the season, how it could have impacted trades or decisions that Sean Marks and the organization made, and what it means for this offseason, the speculation. We dip our toes in the what-if waters on this episode, and it is a heck of a good time. You can join us for that conversation right now, but before we do, it's the theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome back to the Locked On Nets podcast and the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, the Brooklyn Nets, every single day, even in the off season. I'm Doug Norrie, owner operator DFSR.com. Got you covered if you need any projections for NBA or MLB, even NHL. There's a couple games left of that season as well. Head on over to DFSR.com. That's Adam Armbrecht, voice of the Brooklyn Nets on Sportscaster, host of the One Giant podcast, where he's covering the New York football Giants every single day with his boy, Andy Mack. Buddy, how are we doing on a day where we could have found out we might have had one of our guards back?
Yeah, just when you thought that we tied a bow on the series against the Bucks and essentially the season for the Brooklyn Nets, just a little trickle-down information about the availability of one Spencer Dinwiddie. I don't know if he got the memo that the season's over for Brooklyn, but by about 2 days, Spencer Dinwiddie officially cleared to resume basketball activity, and tragically, he just doesn't have a team to play for.
It was really one of those moments where I saw the tweet from Shams. I was expecting him to be able to come back, but wasn't expecting the timing to be like this. And Shams tweets it out that Spencer Dinwiddie obviously is clear to resume basketball activities. And you just think, huh. where does this land? There's no conspiracy theory here. I think he's just, Christian Winfield had already reported that he was like on track to report back for the finals if they were going to be there. So he wasn't like holding himself back, but it does become one of these things where you think, what's the one kind of guy that we sort of needed for a couple of games here? And it was a playmaking guard. And to think that he was like 72 hours away from being able to do that, I was kind of over the season. And then this just kind of like took the knife and just reinserted it into the back a little bit. I don't know. It's not blaming anybody. This is where we are.
No, but it flipped me back to it basically flipped me back even in this series. Let's say just the Bucks series, right? When Harden is basically saying, like, that's it, man. One leg be damned. I'm getting back out there. I'm going to give it all that I got because Kyrie's down with the ankle. We don't know when, if at all, he's going to be able to come back this postseason. If Spencer Dinwiddie either doesn't get hurt at all this season, or if he gets hurt sooner somehow and then is able to come back sooner, you could be talking about, hey, James Harden, guess what? A healthy Spencer Dinwiddie along with Kevin Durant? Yeah, we can beat the Bucks. You don't even have to rush yourself back because your offensive game is going to be more than enough when we get into that next round of the playoffs. Like, no, this definitely sent me in a little momentary. It's still the offseason. We still have all these things to look forward to. But it sent me into a momentary spiral of again, just all of the so close to what could have been and getting all these pieces together. listen, every team across the league went through a lot of different stuff over the course of the season, some to worse or less degrees, better. Some teams got lucky, and the healthy ones are able to kind of push their way through these playoffs. But man, for a team that achieved so much just in signing Kyrie and KD and trading for James Harden, I'll say it. God, we got jobbed a little bit here, which is a couple of these little things that could have gone a slightly friendlier way, so we could have seen a full playoff run from this team.
Yeah, it's really crazy. Like, it's easier to forget. Like, Spencer is out after game three of the season, right? He only lasted game three or through three games, and he's coming up. And the stats during that time were not that great. No big deal. But he's coming off a season where it was very clear that he could be the primary playmaker for your team. No problem. This is why, by the way, spoiler alert, he's going to opt out of his contract after this year, coming off an ACL tear. There's no secret about this. He's coming off an ACL tear, and he has a player option for this year. We're going to talk about all the things that's going to mean. We'll talk about this probably in this episode. But he still has the ability to, like, probably come back and, I don't know, afford you some playmaking ability, afford you some off-the-ball stuff, afford you some on-the-ball stuff, like, you know, screen and roll ability to just get to the basket. Like, this is a guy who was a very dynamic playmaker when he was controlling the Nets offense for basically a whole season last year without Kyrie Irving. And so we just know, oh man, we just know this is the guy. Like, we know... he's not going to save your season. He's not going to carry a playoff team to the championship, but he's a guy that can come in for 20 minutes, 22 minutes, something like that. Like, even be able to work into the offense. Like, he would have been afforded the opportunity to, I don't know, come along slowly, even with this team, in a way that would have helped them. And the fact that you get this at this point in the season is so, it's so backbreaking. I don't know. It's not backbreaking, but it's one of these things like, oh, we're so close.
Shams, keep it to yourself.
Right.
Keep it to yourself. Tell us about break this news in another month or something. Don't do it literally days after we just get eliminated from the playoffs. There's a couple of questions I want to get into. One is more realistic or reasonable, or just thinking about long term, something that we'll discuss today and also as the offseason progresses. But If you'll indulge me, the what if that I know you don't like to dance in those waters, but chicken or the egg, if Spencer Dinwiddie doesn't get hurt, do the Nets still pursue the trade for James Harden? Not because it's not a one or the other thing, but just if Spencer Dinwiddie looked like he did last year for the Nets, do the Nets feel like they need to go get James Harden? And if they go and pursue him, is maybe Spencer Dinwiddie a component in that trade? My mind went in a lot of these different directions. I know it's not worth it to speculate on those things, but it did pique my curiosity of, man, what would all of these things have looked like if Spencer Dinwiddie had been healthy this year? He becomes either viable for the team in the short term, or he becomes viable in a trade, depending on what the Nets looked out and decided they needed to go get to maybe, you know, finalize a championship roster.
All right, so Adam and I did not talk about this part at all. Just so you know, we said going into this episode, we would talk just about the Spencer Dinwiddie thing. And we just kind of, like, you know, riff off that. I had the exact same thought. I had the exact same thought about where he would have landed in this trade if he had been healthy. And I thought the exact same thing. I thought, well, he got hurt and that's a huge bummer. And if he'd been healthy, that would have been just another thing the Rockets would have asked after. Almost for sure, right? Because they're, at that point, you're just piling on as much stuff as you can possibly ask for, and it's easier. Right. And it's easier to not ask for something when someone's hurt, and that's just the unfortunate part of sports. And sports are kind of dumb this way, or they're kind of gladiator effect of, oh, if you're hurt, then you're worthless, and if you aren't hurt, then you have worth, and, like, that's, you know, something you have to reconcile with if you're a sports fan. That's just to say you're going to root for people and sometimes they're going to get injured, and that's the way it is. I had the exact same thought about the Dinwiddie thing where I was like, huh, I wonder if he's still on the team only because he got hurt. And it's a huge bummer. And, like, I don't know, you don't feel great, like, thinking about that. I tend to think that he probably would have been thrown in because that would have just been something that the Rockets would have asked for. And it would have just been an easy yes when you're just trying to say, hey, we just want this guy, right? We just want James Harden. And Spencer Dinwiddie's a great player. So it's a kudos to him that you, like, another team would come and ask for him and say, we want you to be a part of this trade deal. But I mean, I don't know where it lands the Nets now.
In the same way that Jared Allen ends up getting traded in this process, right? Because he's a quality player that teams want, and that's a byproduct of being a well-run organization, and Spencer Dinwiddie certainly had increased his value over his time with the Nets. So, yeah, I mean, it all ends up in these weird, murky waters that, again, I wish hadn't necessarily been stirred up now, but I will say something that we avoid on the podcast in general, because day-to-day, there's plenty of content that's occurring around the team, the games, and players that are currently active. But I love to, in my free time, when nobody's looking, when Doug's not watching, I love to dabble in these waters of, man, now Spencer Dinwiddie wasn't hurt, or now in those trade scenarios, would the Nets have pursued a different piece at the draft as opposed to what they did? You know, all these little things just, they stir up, and they certainly become interesting to dabble in for a time or two. Ultimately, what I will say is, just to put a positive spin on this, and there's still another question I want to ask you about Spencer Dinwiddie, but the biggest takeaway for me is I'm really happy that Spencer Dinwiddie is healthy, because that means that he gets to now showcase himself going into this offseason, and he gets to opt out of the $12.3 million and reset the market for himself and hopefully find himself in a really great situation where he gets to be a starting guard somewhere else in the league or a key contributor on a team in pursuit of a championship.
And hopefully he just like opt out and just like sign his whole next contract in Bitcoin, and then like Bitcoin goes up and like we're all kind of just floating on that, and it's all a good thing. All right, we're going to get into more Spencer Dinwiddie stuff. First, got to talk to you about our friends over at Green Room. That was previously a Locker Room. It's the first social audio platform made for sports fans, free to download. And once you're in, you can talk with us, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. We've been hosting these, previously Locker Rooms, but now Green Rooms once a week. And we'll be doing it next week, talking about the Brooklyn Nets. Definitely with the offseason, so maybe signing trade deals, even stuff they can get into to improve the team. You'll have the chance to talk with us in real time. Be sure to join us next week when we'll be hosting a live Green Room. Go download the free Locker Room app right now, currently available on all iOS devices. Create a profile, link your Twitter, join the NBA chat. That's where we're going to be for the latest updates. Follow Locked On Nets. You'll be notified when the latest Green Room goes live. You are not going to want to miss it. We'll be planning on going live next week, talking about all of the next action. See you there in Locker Room. Change the way we talk about sports.
All right. So the other thing that I want to throw out to you as well when it comes to Spencer Dinwiddie, and I guess maybe it does fall into this spectrum of what could have been and how do things look going forward. Sean Marks had the comments, I think I may have mentioned it on the past episode, of, you know, we're going to try to take care of Spencer Dinwiddie, whether it's here or somewhere else. So I think that just speaks to the idea that the Nets can try to still get some value out of him with a sign and trade opportunity, maybe get some assets back, some draft capital, and also help Spencer Dinwiddie dictate where he wants to go play on his next contract. The only interesting caveat that I wanted to throw out here is, given when you look at this roster and you talk about Harden, you talk about Kyrie Irving, and then kind of the lack of creative on-the-ball playmaker, a guy that can run the second unit successfully, all of those things, coupled with the complete disappearance of DeAndre Jordan over the course of the end of the regular season into the playoffs, is there any world where you can see Spencer Dinwiddie coming back to the Brooklyn Nets, where the Nets find a way to make the money work? Because I've seen the reports out there that he's probably got a value somewhere in the mid-teens. It's not totally undoable for the Brooklyn Nets to find a way and maybe dip their toes into the waters of those luxury tax that we know Joseph Tsai is willing to bring back a guy that maybe is exactly the extra piece you want to have in that room. I don't know. Talk me down from the ledge here.
So there's two parts here, right? So it's, what are you worried the most about? Are you worried the most about having a functional team around the superstars? Or are you worried the most about creating a situation where you can, I don't know, functionally exist without them?
Yeah.
Because Spencer lives within that range, right? Because he's a redundant asset. You cannot play him with the other guys. But if you're worried about the other guys, he's crucial. So the reason we really miss Spencer Dinwiddie in this last series is because he would have been absolutely crucial to the playmaking and scoring like possibilities that they needed, right? But if all the three guys are healthy, then Spencer Dinwiddie is the last guy out of the mix. And so this is where you get into a really sort of weird conundrum, because if you think that mostly Irving and Harden, because he does not overlap with Durant. If you're worried that Irving and Harden are fragile and that they just can't withstand the full season and they're going to get hurt, or they're just like what happened in the postseason here, which I think is kind of fluky, but whatever, then Spencer Dinwiddie is so crucial. If those guys are healthy the entire time, then he's the seventh guy off the bench. Like he's not the seventh guy off the bench. He's the seventh man in the rotation. And he's a $20 million sort of role player. And this is a really hard question to answer, right? And I think that's what you're asking, because he's supremely valuable and he's very good. No doubt about it. This is why he's opting out of his contract. This is why he's not going to take the $12 million. This is why he's offer greener pastures financially and whatever else. But he's kind of the exact guy that they're already great at if everyone's healthy. But they also need this exact guy to be great. Yeah, I don't know. It's a very weird thing they're in here.
And I think, my prediction would be, when we talk about our road to the finals and our NBA playoff coverage, which is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, it's only worth it if you enjoy it at 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. We can all enjoy the games a little bit more this season. My prediction would be that there is a team out there that has the financial flexibility to be able to give him more than what the Nets would be willing to capable of offering him. So if we end up living in the spectrum of the Nets say, listen, we can get you to $15, $16 million a year. We'll pay the luxury tax. We can make that happen. But to be fair, you've been good. You've been good for us. And we really are willing to take care of you however you see fit. There's a team out there that says they want to give you $19, $20 million a year. All things being equal, if Spencer Dinwiddie wants to go get that extra $3 or $4 million a year, then that's the process it's going to work through. If he thinks that with all the other avenues that he's gotten into as the entrepreneurs we've affectionately referred to him on the podcast, then maybe it's worth it to be on a championship team with Kyrie Irving and Harden and Kevin Durant. And like you said, be the seventh guy in the rotation that still offers immense value to this particular team over the next 2 or 3 years. And, so to your point, can he play with those guys? Well, no. But as you start to want to spread and flex those minutes out, you start to say, well, Harden's going to be on the ball when he's in there, okay, and that's the starting unit with Kyrie. But then if Harden comes out and you want to bring in Spencer Dinwiddie, well, now Kyrie becomes the primary ball handler. And it does create this dynamic scoring, always a tandem of scorers and guys that can create for themselves in the backcourt at all times, something that we know the Nets lacked. And the real shame of it probably is that in the version of things where Spencer Dinwiddie is healthy and they pursue Harden, and they don't give up Spencer Dinwiddie, we could have gotten a sample size of it, and maybe that would have enticed you or dictated things, automatically for the Nets, where you go, yeah, we saw it, and it was too much, right? And we couldn't even get the maximum value out of Spencer Dinwiddie. Or, good Lord, we were next level lethal with him as the seventh man in the rotation. Let's make this thing happen. Let's make it work. Let's get the band back together and basically kind of line them up with the run of the superstars and what you hope to achieve over the next 3 or 4 seasons, right? So it's just, again, another drop in the hat of what could have been in terms of seeing some of these guys play together. And it's disappointing, but I'm not going to lie. When that thought popped into my head, it gave me pause. When I also heard that Joseph Tsai is worth something like $11 billion. It just, all the money started flowing, and it just really felt like, guys, what's a few million dollars among friends trying to win championships?
I try not to worry about that part of it too much, because I try to think that money is all relative, and I just don't want to spend other people's money. That's the only it's the only thing that keeps me out of the, death spiral of worrying about when billionaires just don't want to spend an extra
X amount of dollars. But
by the way, for all you out there that do worry about that stuff, it's a better mindset to just think you shouldn't be in the deal of spending other people's money. So like it actually helps you in the long term to think like I do. So, but you almost had me there for a second when you said the Joseph Tsai thing. We'll be, I got a few more Spencer Dinwiddie thoughts here because I just do think there's like probably like a way the Nets win this.
I have to believe that for my sanity.
And before you give those thoughts, though, Doug, because this is good. This is where we wanted to go, is dance in the Spencer Dinwiddie waters. Gotta let everybody know about, of course, our friends over at Built Bar. By this point, you know the drill, friends. We're talking about all those delicious flavors like coconut, coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, and even one like salted caramel. 9 delicious flavors overall. And when you talk about the favorite flavors, for me personally, it's got to be double chocolate. I like chocolate. If you give me twice the amount of that chocolate, then I'm in heaven. And obviously, it's great that you can also go ahead and give a mixed box from Built Bar. Well, they'll give you 2 flavors each of all 9 total that you get. So it's a fantastic way to dip your toe into all the different flavors and find out which ones are the most delicious for you. And when you're eating these healthy, delicious little bars, you know you're getting 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, only 4 grams of net sugar, and only 4 grams of net carbs. That's why when you go over to BuiltBar.com right now and use promo code LOCKED15, you're going to get 15% off your first order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. And while we have the NBA playoffs surging right now, you got to get over to our other friends at betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. We know that the NBA is surging through the playoffs. You got the NHL also doing their thing, and the MLB is in full swing with their baseball season. Get the latest news, odds, and information on all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and even your UFC and MMA action. Before the next tip goes up or the next pitch goes across the plate, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or that mobile device in your pocket and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, friends, as this is your chance to get in on the game action as teams continue their deep playoff runs. Head over to the website, on that mobile device, on that laptop today, and you'll receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts, promo code locked on.
All right, so my question here is, are the Nets in a really good spot because Spencer Dinwiddie is the exact kind of player a lot of teams need, and they can actually sign and trade for the guy they need and take actually, I don't know, 50 cents on the dollar for it, right? So is there a situation, do you think, we're not going to go through all the possibilities right now, but do you think there's like a world where the Nets just take back, Will Barton's a bad example, Dorian Finney-Smith. These are some of the guys that have been thrown out there. But like, do you think Spencer actually played in true Nets fashion, that he played himself into a value piece that's actually going to help the Nets get down to the championship later because they can, I don't know, sign and trade him to some other contender or some other piece that's just looking for this exact kind of playmaking ability, but they just know they don't need it because they have James and Kyrie sitting there for them, right? Like, we don't need to have Spencer Dinwiddie sitting on the bench. It's nice. We talked about it last segment, but it's nice to have him kind of sitting around. But can they ship him off for maybe a lesser wing that you would have really liked to have there, I don't know, in the playoffs right now?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I think the more realistic route, if you're following the Sean Marks model of, you know, having foresight and thinking ahead and taking chances on guys like Spencer Dinwiddie, like Joe Harris, and then really generating value for them and getting to a place where you can pay them, or, to your point, turn them into something else that you need more. Now, theoretically, I think because of where the Nets are in their trajectory of being in a win-now mode, you'd assume it would be player, because this is how you end up being able to look around the league and, you know, find the wing defender that you want, who's under contract for a couple of years at a reasonable price, who maybe is just starting to show that little something or is giving you a sample size in the playoffs, and then you go and get him. And yes, you're devaluing, quote unquote, what Spencer Dinwiddie's worth is, but he's probably, after everything we talked about, he almost inevitably has more value to almost, you know, every other team in the league than he does to the Nets because of the two players we have. So in that way, the Nets can say, yeah, we know that he's really good. We know how good he'll be for you. And it's okay because we'll get back X. So yes, I agree with you on the face of it. And I think there's even the secondary option is getting draft assets, getting draft capital. That way we've seen Sean Marks flip that into other things. We'll eventually get into all that stuff as we get towards the draft next month. The Nets have a first round pick. They have 3 second round picks. Well, a couple more draft assets, package them up, send them somewhere for a player that you like. You tend to think the Nets are looking for the veteran, the guy with the experience, with the reliability, but then maybe even if you trend a little bit younger, there's some guys that have maybe showcased themselves this year that would be worth a couple more or overvalued draft assets from a Nets standpoint just to get them in the door and help strengthen the biggest areas of weakness. So no, I don't think there's any wrong way for the Nets to go about the Spencer Dinwiddie situation that doesn't end up with them benefiting tremendously, which is just, I feel like, is another testament to what Sean Marks has been able to set up here. So it's a win-win for everybody, by the way, which is not always the case around NBA circles. This is where Spencer Dinwiddie goes somewhere, that team benefits instantly. The Nets benefit by the player they get back or the assets they get back, and everybody goes home happy. And I do feel like that's the most likely scenario that's going to play out.
Oh, totally. And I'm actually getting into the mindset of almost any sign and trade they're able to get themselves into, I'm going to talk myself into that was the best thing, right? Because
yes,
we're just there. And if like if the trade that comes back wasn't as good as what we know Spencer was, that's just going to have to be okay, because we just know that his value to us, the value just kind of spectrum or the value rubric is just off right now in terms of what he means to us compared to what he means to other teams. And so once you recognize that, you're never going to bring him back for the same number. Exactly. There's just no way. You're never going to bring him back.
And here's the big piece too, right? If the Nets held on to Spencer Dinwiddie in any form or fashion,
yeah,
it would be because you're fearing the expectation of Harden or right. Irving being injured. And you can't approach this thing that way by saying,
exactly,
well, we assume someone's going to get hurt. And that's why we want to spend it. No, sorry. You have to assume everyone's healthy. That's always the mindset you have to have in any franchise or any sport. And then you go from there with the premise being, we're healthy. We have these guys. What's next? What's the missing piece? And Spencer Dinwiddie doesn't represent that. Someone else out there in the NBA landscape does for the Nets.
And that's the part where when you see he was going to come back, you start to think, oh, we really could have used him. Yes, exactly. We could have really used him this week, but over the long term, we do not really need him. This week would have been great. These 72 hours would have been great, or whatever, 96 hours or whatever it would end up being. Like, that would have been great to have him. But over the long term, this is just not the guy we need, especially for the number that he's probably going to command. Which, again, kudos to him. He's been great. Like, you go out and get paid. This is exactly what you want to happen with the guys you root for. You want them, like D'Angelo Russell, same thing. It's like, dude, go out and get paid. Get paid the max. It's great. It just doesn't work for this exact, you know, sort of iteration of where the team is right now. I just don't want Nets fans to think that we're just like shipping Spencer off here. It's not that. Like, we understand. He's awesome. He's sort of like, I don't know, antithetical to what we actually need right now, and we could have used them for a few days coming off the bench or maybe even starting, and maybe we're just in the conference finals, but that's just not going to end up being the case. Long term, though, he's probably going to end up being on our team, and if we need to take, I don't know, 50 cents back on the dollar for his actual talent level, it's just a testament to him that he was so great during the time that he was with the Nets that he boosted up his just overall value to the point where we're even talking about a signing trade, because I don't know, when he first signed with the Nets, that definitely wasn't probably the feeling that he was going to be signing, I don't know, a $15 million a year gig. Huh. Good job by him. He was awesome.
I don't think there was necessarily a thought in Nets fans' minds that in this offseason, Jared Allen would be getting talked around upwards of $100 million contract, right? Like a lot of things have shifted for a lot of those players that felt like the scrappy little upstart team for the Brooklyn Nets for a couple of years.
Can I say one thing real quick about the Harden trade, and then we're going to get out of here because like, this is a total tangent, and I know you weren't prepared for this. how good does the Harden trade look right now in comparison to the other teams that didn't want to get in on it, which were the Philly, the Sixers with Ben Simmons and the Heat with Tyler Hero? Like, do the Nets look like the all-time best team ever with this kind of thing, where these two teams that just did, like, they just couldn't part with these other two assets? And yeah, we're talking about Spencer before maybe giving him up for in that trade if he was healthy. But does this look even better for the Nets now that these teams?
Well, like, by the way, because we danced around this stuff back then when the rumors were swirling and stuff, and reach your arm right up over your back there, buddy, and give yourself a couple of good pats. And I think most people would have agreed with you, but you were very much at the front of it. You instantly make this trade. There's nothing on this roster that you wouldn't give up to get Harden. It's because it's proving commodity versus potential of or what could be. And the fact that a team like Miami with Hero maybe said, ooh, I don't know. I mean, you're talking about a nice young player, but what is he proven really in his career yet? Or a Ben Simmons, heck of a defender. But even at the time of the trade, you knew the guy didn't have much of a shot, and it looks like it actually has deteriorated even further since then. But yeah, this.
So bad now.
Oh, and you always go for what you know is a proven thing. Even if the Nets, and I think they will, but even if the Nets don't win a championship with this collection of talent, you still make the trade 100 times out of 100 because you know what James Harden is. You know what he brings to the table. At best, you think there's the potential of what these other players could be. And the idea that a Miami, and look what happened to both those teams, and the Nets are in that same boat as far as how the season's turned out. They didn't get the ultimate goal of winning a championship, but when you watch that, I mean, nothing could have been more glaring. When you watch Ben Simmons not dunk a basketball when he's standing there by himself for fear of the impending doom of Trae Young, that massive body coming at him, you can't help but think... Take him off the court and insert a healthy James Harden. Good Lord, what would the 76ers have been? So yeah, you always make those moves, and it is that, listen, how much can I bloviate here? But again, a credit to Sean Marks and the Nets organization. They understood what they were constructing. They understood what they were building towards. And then when the moment came to execute, they pulled the trigger. Where so many other teams were, ooh, I don't know if we could possibly, that's a pretty big asking price. The Nets didn't stop. They didn't hesitate. They went all in. They made the big move. And there's no way that if you talk to Sean Marks or anybody in the Nets organization right now today, after all the injuries and getting knocked out, they're all sitting there going, yeah, we cannot believe we pulled that trade off. We're so happy.
All right, was able to take a Spencer Dinwiddie podcast, turn it to Ben Simmons, turn it to James Harden, and that is how you do podcasting when it comes to the Brooklyn Nets. Rate and review the podcast wherever you listen. That's how you help us climb those charts. The numbers have been amazing. We keep saying it episode after episode. Like the numbers, I don't know, all-time highs? Yeah, we're all-time highs, folks. You can help us continue to climb the charts by rating and reviewing the podcast wherever you listen. Like and subscribe if that's the way you want to do it as well. It all helps us and is totally free to do. Rate and review wherever you listen.
And today on the Locked On Today podcast with Peter Bukowski, how did the Clippers let the Suns do that? Get more of the sports news that you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast needs fulfilled. And in the vein of our good friend Spencer Dinwiddie, good night, parting is such sweet sorrow that I shall say good night till it be morrow. Bill Shakespeare.
Oh. One of the all-time great poets.
Got him.
Bill. He really knew how to do it. We'll be back in tomorrow talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.